Is it a dumb game, or am I just dumb?
What's dropping?
If you are looking for relevant gaming coverage from experts, you are not getting it on this show.
Listen to this voice right now. Can you tell how deep my voice is today? It sounds really sultry and seductive.
Mm-hmm. Loving it.
A woman in the elevator this morning, she commented that I have a great voice for singing baritone and bass. And she asked me if I wanted to join her church choir. So I told her to fuck off with that nonsense. But, you know, I thought that was a pretty flattering thing to say to somebody you don't know.
This really happened?
It really happened. Like, this is one of those voice changes that only happens every so often. Like, you wake up in the morning and your voice is sort of like, you sound all of a sudden like super manly. I get this anyway. Yeah. I don't know if you get this too.
Yeah, I get it. I think it's usually sickness of some kind.
I've been fighting off illness like for the last week. You probably heard it in last week's podcast when you could just hear the complete lack of enthusiasm for having to do that podcast. it was prevalent in my voice, I'm sure. I wonder if girls' voices ever do this. Like, do they wake up and go, hello, and then it goes right up into like a high register?
They just unintentionally start doing the vocal fry.
The vocal fry
thing, which is just a plague on humanity right now.
A tenor.
Vocal fry. Let's just do vocal fry from now until the end of this show.
That's a good idea. Let me.
It's almost painful.
Let me read. It's very painful. Let me read something from my nephew was baptized this morning, ladies and gentlemen. And
under the eyes of the Lord.
Did you know, Tanner, that the Catholic Church is still around?
you're sounding like Riley Martin.
Tanner. Did you know they're still around, though? The Catholic Church still kicking it after all these years.
It's incredible. When you think about it, it is truly remarkable that is a thing that exists.
Yeah, good for them. Look
at
that.
They still do the whole... They put on the whole fucking show.
That's right. It's all showmanship. You know, these new churches, they want to try to woo you with these songs of you know, like, they're trying to bust out, like, a Depeche Mode song that's about God or whatever. But not,
yeah, they've got PowerPoint presentations.
Yeah, they've got acting going on. Like, people will take to the stage and act out a skit for you.
The pastor might be in jeans and a blazer, and, like, he'll sit down on a step.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like,
he's just gonna...
just like, let me just jaw at you for a second about Jesus, motherfucker.
Let me level with you. They don't do that in the Catholic Church. It's all ceremony and pomp and circumstance. It's pretty incredible to see.
But... chalices hanging from gold chains with, like, dry ice in them.
Hey, good for them. Let's help out. I'm looking at the what do you call this thing here? The show companion, whatever you want to call it, that.
The pamphlet they hand out, like, get ready for this.
Yeah.
You know what's coming up? First off, we've got prayer.
Yeah.
Followed by a song.
That's pretty much what it is. Although today, being that we're close to Veterans Day, there was, I was really excited to see that they played, and I'll gladly stand up next to you.
In a Catholic church?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Did they roll out some old geezer in, like, one of Michael Jackson's old military costumes and just everyone just stared at him?
No, it was incredible. And then at the end, they had everyone sing God Bless America. I am looking here, though. You know, please keep a few people in your prayers. I don't know why this makes me laugh. But
I know it's coming.
Well, no, it's so it just says
people on the edge of death.
But there's one person's name in particular, not their name, but it's the way that they worded this. So it says, please keep these people in your prayers. Cancer, Lisa W. In parentheses, cancer is back. I don't know why that's so funny to me. It's like there's something about. All you had to do is just say, like, cancer or something, but...
Cancer. They should have just said it, cancer 2.0, yeah. Lisa W. This time it's serious.
I like that it's a parenthetical.
It's like, these are really bad film titles.
Yeah, it's like a parenthetical sort of footnote to what she is all about. Lisa W. Ugh, cancer's back, by the way.
I like the idea of someone kneeling before their bed at night and praying, and then be like, oh, fuck, who was... I gotta pray for... And then they have to pull out the pamphlet, reference it, and be like, yeah, God, put in a word for Lisa W. Her cancer's back.
I'm curious if God knows intention, or, like, in other words, if what if you mispronounce Lisa's name and you get a wholly different Lisa? So, like, Lisa W., let's call her Lisa White, but you accidentally said, like, please, God, save Lisa Witt, because maybe they... You know what I'm saying? And then does God go, well, shit, I think that they met... White, but I guess Lisa Witt, and then what? Lisa White dies because you misread a prayer.
Yeah, it's not so much God as the accounts receivable department. They're really sticklers up in heaven. And then, like, God gets the message. You know, for probably half of all prayers, God's like, yeah, I gave her cancer. She's learning a lesson. Like, yeah. I'm not just going to wipe it out now. That cancer's back for a reason. I'm God.
So, hey, everybody, Catholic Church still kicking it after, 3,000 years? I don't even know. 2,000 years. Where are we at in history right now? 2013.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is a video game show.
Aren't you glad you tuned in? Welcome to episode 9, or 9er, whatever you want to call it, of the Super Dumb Games podcast. I am one of your hosts, Chris.
I'm your other host, Tanner.
And this week... I played a game, you said you played a game. Look at us, we are actually doing what this pod, well, outside of this whole Catholic Church rant, we're doing what this podcast says it's going to do. We are playing dumb games. So Tanner, what dumb game did you play?
So continuing our streak of Genesis hits, because we'll have Crystal's Ponytail videos up probably tonight,
nice.
Which is Sunday, so when you're hearing this, just look on YouTube and you'll see Crystal's Pony. I played another jam from Genesis, a game I'd never heard of and stumbled across. And I'm curious, Chris, if you've ever heard of this game. It's called Comics Zone.
Is that where you jump from comic frame to comic frame?
Yes.
I played that. I rented that game and played the shit out of it. It is a dumb game. I forgot all about it. Tell us about it.
So, 1995, it's basically a beat-em-up, but it's a pretty adept beat-em-up. And the premise is incredible. It starts you off super fucking fast. And that's one thing I'm loving about playing these old games is there's just no time to set up story. They want to get you right in.
Right.
So it starts off, you're a comic artist named Sketch. And Sketch Turner.
Yeah.
You're a comic artist and freelance rock musician. So you're drawing a comic. The comic gets hit by a bolt of lightning.
Oh, shit. That's the catalyst for most superpowers.
And then suddenly the villain from your comic pops up and he's like, motherfucker, you're in the comic now. You go in the comic and you just fight people. And you're off and running. And then it's a beat 'em up, and it's basically... One of the cool things is it's like a comic page that's in multiple planes, like X and Y axis and everything. And you jump through scenes of each panel up and down, almost like Finders Keepers.
Yeah. That's...
And the scenes change pretty dramatically one to the other.
If I remember correctly, in its time when it came out, it was lauded by... I mean, I don't know if it got critical acclaim, but it... looked really cool when I was reading whatever gaming magazine I was reading. I remember seeing that and getting really excited for its release. And when I played it, I wasn't disappointed. I thought it was pretty innovative for its time. I'd never played a game quite like that.
Yeah, it was published and developed by Sega, so it had a little bit extra oomph behind it, I think. And it's kind of incredible how good it looks still, but it has all the wonderful dumbness of a game right in the thick of the 90s. I mean, the character, he's got a ponytail. He's wearing those circular sunglasses. He's got high tops on, cut off sweatpants, shorts, fingertipless gloves, a vest over a hoodie. Like, he's hitting on all cylinders.
Oh, man.
Of the 90s. And then on top of it, one of the big promotions was they packed in a bonus music soundtrack CD for this game.
Holy shit. See, I didn't get that with, because I rented it. I don't think that was something that I was privy to. I think they either kept that at the store for themselves, those greedy bastards, or it just didn't, you know, because at some of the rental places, they didn't give you, like, the full package. You just got the game. So
yeah, so this, I mean, this game is kind of fitting into, in the 90s, there was an obsession with rock, you know, the grunge kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, it was playing on, you weren't really into comics in the 90s, right?
No, not much.
But there was this moment in the 90s when Image Comics appeared, you know, with kind of powered by Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like the young hot guns on the art scene. And they went off and created their own comics label that was creator owned. And it was a bunch of like 20 and 30 year old dudes who drew like really detailed but hyper stylized like art. And they were so cool that Rob Liefeld had a jeans commercial, which is one of the most amazing things if you look it up on YouTube. But this game is trying to hit on both of those. Like, we're all about rock. We're all about art in the 90s. And mother, just drink it up. But this is another thing to note is this game has got an incredible theme song that's just like hardcore MIDI. Like, it's trying to approximate rock music through the keyboard, and that just always goes well.
That's sort of what they did on Rock and Roll Racing for the SNES, if you remember. Like, you'd hear, what was it, like Paranoid or whatever?
Yeah.
It was like all pure MIDI format, but it sounded pretty good, I thought. Back in the day, I used to rock out to it.
And what I found was, I was just trying to find a YouTube video of the theme song to Comic Zone from the game, but there's basically a bunch of people who just love making their own real rock version of that song.
That takes dedication. Is it worth hearing somebody play it like for real, like live, or you know?
Yeah, because it's even more hilarious.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's it's everything you want out of a game from the 90s. They do it all,
man,
in this game. And it is super dumb. The premise is dumb. The game itself is just a kind of basic beat 'em up,
mm-hmm.
But it's got a level of polish to it that still makes it a little bit appealing. The one thing is, it's hard as hell.
Yeah.
And I think it's super short, and to make up for the shortness, they just made it really, really hard.
So did you beat it?
No, I'm not recording it yet. I wanted to play through it a little bit to get used to it, and then
right.
I'm going to record it, and I'll see what I can do. Oh, and here, I just found the track listing for the bonus CD.
Oh, God.
There's some great bands on this.
All right, give it to me.
So you've got Danzig.
Oh, God.
You've got the Jesus and Mary Chain.
Holy shit.
But then you've got some amazing 90s band names here. MC900 featuring Jesus. The Lords of Brooklyn with a Z.
Nice.
And my favorite, Stiffs Incorporated.
That is awesome. That's a great name now.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So look forward to that. We'll get some footage of it. I'm still trying to decide between a Double Impact and Extreme. We'll see.
All right. Well, whichever one you feel like doing, I guess I can riff on that game. I'm pretty sure. I'm in that alpha for a game called Rust, which is this Minecraft, but like using real life, more real life textures, you know, actual. It looks like you're in a first person shooter, but you're gathering supplies and you have to build shelter and you know, you the supplies that you gather can stack to become other things. So, you know, you gather 10 wood and 10 wood will become an actual piece of lumber. And then the actual pieces of lumber, then the more you accumulated those, then you can build walls and things like that. But so far, the game is good, but it's so dumb. Like, I have such a fun time playing it because, first off, you start off buck naked, and every avatar has a dick and balls, and so people are running, and so you start off with three things. You get a torch, a rock that you hold, and there's a third, and then two med packs, but the med packs actually don't heal you, they just stop you from bleeding. One of the game elements is that if you get hit by stuff, you heal over time. You don't heal up. So, you know, you don't just like, you don't take damage and then go, oh, now I'm going to take a med pack and get plus 20. You take damage and then you stop the bleeding. And then from there, your health will slowly get better. It's a pretty interesting game dynamic. But
do you think they made players nude as a kind of joke, or they're just inept in a way?
Well, look, if they're inept, they're drawing a dick and balls like I've never seen in a game. It's
oh wait, this is the guy behind Gary's Mod creator.
Yes, yes.
So this is the real fucking deal.
This is the real deal. But it's funny though, because when you're in game, okay, you start out that way, and so you're encountering other players who are scavenging and stuff, and we're all carrying rocks with two hands, naked, running, and you'll just see a guy busted across an open field. And when you get close, if you hit the V button, it allows you to use voice chat. So like. And it happens in real time. Like, I can't just yell across the server. Like,
proximity.
Exactly. So as I get closer to you, you know, you'll hear me kind of go like,
you know. Is everyone just screaming at all times?
I try to, but I mean, there are, the thing is, okay. So as your character gets more stuff, you eventually get guns and shotguns and swords and things like that. But and so there's a lot of griefing that goes on, and instead of the griefing, sometimes it's annoying because they loot your corpse and you're done. I mean, you spawn with nothing unless you can get to your corpse and retrieve your stuff. But usually, like, I've been in a situation where I thought I was alone, and all of a sudden I hear a guy go like, "Hey," and I'm dead. It's the funniest fucking thing. But I usually, yeah, our friend Casey and I, we play that game together, and sometimes you just run through town screaming and hope that people hear you, like, because it's funnier that way.
Yeah, I'm looking at a screenshot, and it's set in a wilderness, mm-hmm. and there's a field and trees, and there's this shack,
yeah.
and naked caveman-like beings.
Yeah.
And then, like, a roadster. Like, this game is some sort of brilliant commentary on inequality, I think.
It's hilarious. Well, that's really what ends up happening. So, what you end up doing is, like, Casey and I, we were building a structure. Well, okay, first off, there was a guy who, he was building a structure, but he wasn't on he had logged off for the day, so he had put down platforms, like wood platforms. We totally stole those platforms, we stole his spot, and we built on his spot. So when he logged back in game, he would have found that whatever place he had thought, he had envisioned himself constructing, was already squatted in. We had built a structure on top of it. But in the game, though, while you're logged off, people can, if they figure out a way, they have to make the tools necessary to do it, but they can bust down your doors and steal all of your shit. And so you'll log in sometimes and find that you've got nothing except for whatever's on your person.
You know, probably eventually they'll put protections in there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the wonderful things about these early alphas is all bets are off.
Yeah, it's like I said, I've only had a few instances where I did get pissed. That's because to me, there's kind of a rule that I abide by, which is when somebody's just starting off in the game, it doesn't seem fair to just if I have a gun, it doesn't seem fair to kill them because they're trying to gather scraps and shit. It's an easy kill. There's no point to doing it. It's when the people are on slightly more even footing. Like, if I see you with a hatchet, I'll shoot you in the fucking face. But if you only have that rock from the beginning of the game, I'll let you slide. So, yeah, you guys got to check it out. It's in alpha. I'm pretty sure they're releasing keys still. And actually, wow, now they're doing, when I was doing it, they were just doing 10 keys at a time. Now they're doing 500. So this is getting huge right now. So check it out. I think it's at www.playrust.com/buy, and you'll see how it works.
World's hottest game news. Man, it's been rough over here in the news department. After releasing that last report about which segment was a fan favorite, we've had to deal with the fallout, and it's getting ugly out there. Apparently, not only were people not happy with one news segment being determined a fan favorite, they've started separating into gangs, defending essentially the turf of each segment. So you've got your What's Dropping gang. They've been calling themselves Acid Rain, but what's really clever about that is instead of R-A-I-N, it's R-E-I-G-N.
Right, like reigning supreme over, yeah, over all.
They wear football uniforms and carry chains. Right. And then you've got your Top Sizzlers crew. They're called the Machete Experience.
Jesus.
And you'd think they'd carry machetes, but instead they just have baseball bats with nails in them because they're raw. And then rounding up the end, you've got Hot Off the Wire. For some reason, Hot Off the Wire is super popular in Idaho. So that gang's called the Idaho Gun Jockeys.
Okay.
And yeah, they ride horses and they're serious business. And it's an all-out war. We've devolved into a barter system. You know, when I created this segment, I didn't want this kind of thing to happen, but it has, and we just have to deal with it.
Did you hear, like, the latest news? And I know you guys are on top of this. In fact, we had to hire, like, a whole new wing our offices are expanding exponentially just to handle the amount of news coming in. But a lot of it is pertaining to these deadly turf wars that are going on. And did you hear about the new leader? He's up and coming. You can find him in Oklahoma area. His name's Talon Windstorm, and yeah, he is drawing so many people to his, because he's a very he's one of those people who's just, he just oozes charisma. So watch out for that. I'm curious. Do we know the geographic breakdown of the other gangs? Like, are we finding this dividing along, you know, red state, blue state? Is this east of the Mississippi, west of the Mississippi?
You know, given that the internet is kind of scant at best at this point, mm-hmm, in terms of reception, because, you know, they're trying to attack internet centers and take down communications networks, it has been mainly broken down regionally.
Okay.
So we've got kind of Acid Rain is working on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. The Machete Experience is mainly southern states. Mm-hmm. But Idaho Gun Jockeys, I mean, that is just Idaho. And the fact that there aren't many people there, they've been pretty united. I think that really works out well for them.
Incredible.
But we'll keep you up to date on what's happening here. Hopefully we're safe here at the Super Dumb Games News Department headquarters.
I'm fully invested in the story.
All right, so first up, what's dropping? We've got a really ridiculous game releasing this week, or released last week on Halloween, ooh, very appropriately. Total War Rome 2. This is another expansion pack,
okay,
for this game. But this isn't, you know, when you expect an expansion pack to add maybe a new culture, mm-hmm, or a new region, some new units.
Sure, yeah.
These are the things you expect. Not this expansion, the Blood and Gore expansion.
Jesus.
So the copy reads, Blood and Gore brings the savagery of frontline combat to viscera splattering life with decapitations, dismemberate, and devastating impalements, featuring hundreds of gruesome animations that play out in combat between multiple different unit types. The masked battles of Total War Rome 2 will never be the same again.
Have you ever played these games? Did you ever get into any?
Yeah.
Okay. I have too. I enjoy playing the games, but what ends up happening for me usually is I will fight maybe 2% of the wars that are in the campaign that I'm doing. Like, actually go to the war,
yeah,
itself.
You just simulate.
I simulate everything else. So then even when I'm in the war part itself, I enjoy seeing the clash of the two armies, or, you know, archers hitting people from afar and people dying. But I don't know if I'm going to be... I'll probably fast forward most of the fight just to get it out of my life so I can figure out if I won or lost. It doesn't seem absolutely necessary. I don't know.
They list what... maybe this will tantalize
you. Okay, sell me.
Blood and Gore features new visual and sound effects, including new blood-splattered front end. I guess that means, like, blood gets on your screen.
No, I don't want that.
Blood VFX on rock and stone impact. Blood shader on death animations and attackers. Blood decals on terrain. The weird cold efficiency of this language.
It tells you that these people have killed people before. They know what they're doing.
I would like if we invented a time machine and could go back in time with a laptop and go on a Roman battlefield. And as someone that just a recently disemboweled centurion lets out his last breath, if we can kind of like scramble up, and of course we're wearing like field jackets.
Yeah.
And we scramble up with the laptop and go, dude, can you just check the accuracy of this? Does this look real?
You're talking to the microphone really quickly. We need to capture your scream and bring it back with us. You know, 3,000
wow.
years.
Yeah. Okay. Ridiculous.
But what's interesting to me about this, honestly, is think back to when in the 90s when blood was sort of a new element that they added to games. And that was a huge deal. Like the fact that Mortal Kombat, they got rid of blood after the first Mortal Kombat, and then they were almost by virtue of the community outcry, they brought it back, I believe. Then there was the whole, if you had NHL 94, I think they got rid of the blood, but NHL PA 93, like the original one, because it licensed the players, NHL PA 93 had, that's where you could make Little Wayne's head bleed, if you've ever watched Swingers. That's the game featured there. So, and I remember very vividly watching people, like the kids up the road, playing the non-blood versions, and I thought, this is fucking bullshit. I got the game at home, and it was also like this moral war between Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo was trying to take the high ground and say, we don't do blood, or the developers for Super Nintendo games didn't develop blood in their games, but then... Then the developer would go ahead and do it for Sega. So I guess that was a mandate brought down on high for the system. I don't know.
Yeah, it was. There were concerns about, because games were seen as kids' things.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, well, these are toys. Should toys have blood in them, essentially? Fast forward 20 years, and we now have expansion packs dedicated to just blood and gore. To an already bloody game.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, and it's like, we're already talking about watching the deaths of thousands of people on a battlefield. And there's already death animation when that happens. And so here we are just adding an extra layer to it. It's pretty interesting.
Can my army just fight in a giant pool of blood? Can we just fill up Italy with blood and...
Can my guys just be made of blood, and then when they get hit, they splatter, the whole thing explodes, and then it's just blood exploding on blood.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that's what's dropping. Next up, we've got our top sizzlers. These are your top stories for this week.
Kill them.
The top of the stories. Nothing gets bigger than this one. Gran Turismo 6 lets you drive a lunar rover on the moon.
But wait, can you also
this
drive...
This is a real headline.
Can you also drive a car against the... Like, are we bringing cars to
the
moon?
Okay. Gran Turismo 6 does not feature any cars anymore. All you can drive is a lunar rover on the moon. This is their big innovation. Wouldn't that be amazing? They're being really coy about all the advertisement and stuff. Like, all you see is, like, a steering wheel and a tire. And then everyone buys the game, gets it home, and they're on the fucking moon in a lunar rover that goes atop of 10 miles per hour.
And lunar rover technology, people, you can correct me. I don't give a shit. But as far as I'm concerned, that shit looks the same as when Armstrong was driving around in it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So the upgrades would be, like, you get one extra lap because we added more oxygen to your car. You know, like there's no nitros and shit like that.
It is truly mind-boggling that this is even happening. And the way it got released was they released a trailer or a concept movie, and the concept movie has everything you'd expect out of a Gran Turismo. And then the last shot, the camera pans up to the moon.
Oh, God.
And then it zooms in on the moon, and there's a fucking astronaut just farting around on a rover. And it's like, is this real life?
It should have said something on the screen, like it slamming text on the screen. It's like, fuck Formula One or something, you know, something just to let you know we're taking this thing off the Earth's fucking gravity.
They dedicated probably weeks to this. Why? Why do I want to drive a rover on the moon in a race? I don't care. Next story.
But wait, just quick question. Yeah. Are you into sim racing? Do you ever play sim racing games?
No.
Me neither.
It's intolerable.
Okay, next story. You summed it up so succinctly.
Some crazy buzz is happening. This isn't exactly news, but this isn't really a news segment. This is rumors, but it's still an intriguing rumor. Microsoft CEO candidate Stephen Elop. So Microsoft is going to be replacing CEO Steve Ballmer.
Finally, get that enthusiastic fuck out of my life.
One of the top candidates, Stephen Elop, who's a former Nokia CEO, has said that he, if he took over Microsoft, would potentially kill off Xbox and kill off Bing.
What? What? I mean, yes. I understand killing off Bing. I don't know how well they're doing.
Yeah,
but
fuck cares about Bing?
But killing off Xbox, like, entirely, just like getting out of the gaming industry, is that what?
Yeah, selling off Xbox. Probably, I imagine they'd keep Microsoft Game Studios, but get rid of Xbox, the hardware.
So kind of like what Atari did, in a way, like where Atari kept developing games after they finished with the console itself.
Yeah, and this news is coming. I guess this guy kind of announced this or was, you know, kind of thinking on his feet, just talking about his sort of plans. And they looked into it. If Microsoft got rid of Xbox, a financial analyst named Rick Sherlund said that Microsoft could boost their earnings by about 40% fiscal year 2015. Xbox, since we're in the gaming, you think of Xbox as a big success. It's actually a minuscule part of Microsoft's overall success.
Right.
And is actually kind of a leech.
Yeah, it's a liability. So they should hand that over to another corporation. And then, in fact, maybe give a call to Mitt Romney. Maybe they want to move in on this. What was his organization? Those assholes. Maybe they want to move in. Yeah, they want to move in on this, gut it for what it's worth, and then just leave it as the husk.
They'll have to evaluate how many lives they can ruin. First.
That's true. One of those lives would be Major Nelson. We have to keep that in mind.
So Major Nelson, he would probably join Acid Rain.
Yeah.
And he would be on the field.
Well, he would immediately be a major in their ranks. You know, wherever he goes,
it probably translates.
Yeah.
We'd have to check his credits. It's like transferring from community college to a university. Like, we've got to evaluate his record.
Second Lieutenant Nelson. What a demotion.
I don't think he could hack it on the Idaho gun jockeys, though. he doesn't have the equestrian skills. All right, last top sizzler. Chris, we're going to put your skills to the test again.
Fuck me. Oh, God. Not
so
today.
So Japan, I've got a list here of the top selling games in Japan from 2001 to 2013.
Okay.
So just that, this the past 12 years. I've got the top 100 best selling games just in Japan. We're going to see if you can name any of the top 10.
Top 10. Holy shit. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Any of the top 10.
Okay.
And I'll give you a hint. There are only three developers represented on this list. Oh. And all three of them are Japanese companies. Actually, if I look at it, holy shit. Ladies and gentlemen, your news department didn't really analyze this beforehand.
They're too busy with the breaking news of these gangs forming.
I'm not seeing any American companies in like the top 100. So it just goes to show you, Japan's game culture is very insulated.
Okay, all right, here we go. All right, you're putting me to the test here. Hang on, doing some calisthenics. Crack my back a little bit. Okay. Number one.
And remember, you've learned some things in these past few weeks about what's really popular.
Yes. I kind of should have. But I haven't. Okay, here. All right. Straight off the top of my head, because, okay, we're talking. You're saying that in the top 10, that the publishers are all. They're all Japanese.
Three companies, all Japanese.
First company. Give me the music. First company, Nintendo themselves, because I would imagine Nintendo being a Japanese company has to be in there.
They are dominant.
And this is 2001 and onward, so I go Mario Kart.
All right, so we've got Mario Kart. Both DS and Wii versions are in the top 16.
Holy shit.
DS is 10.
Oh, shit.
4 million copies sold. Wii is number 16 with just under 4 million copies sold.
I'm going to show my age on the next guess. Okay. I'm going to say that I'm not even going to know the game to name, honestly. But I'm going to say that somehow, like, Squaresoft edged its way in.
You know what? Shockingly, they have. They are number 9.
Whoa! Hey, all right, okay. So I broke in. I've done 10.
Now,
9.
You're showing your age because you called them Squaresoft when they're
right.
That company doesn't exist anymore.
Square Enix. Yeah. Okay. You're right. Well, shit. What do I know? Okay. I'm gonna go with.
There's no way you're getting this. But I would like to see what you think it's gonna be.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I'm really racking my brain right now, but here's why. Let me give you the reason why I'm going to say this, and then the reason why I have no fucking clue about any of this stuff. You and I have talked about this thing that happens on a website that millions of people go to, and it tells our age because we see these kids who are like, does anyone else remember what it was like to play this game? And you and I are like, no, because it was a fucking dumb game for kids. But they've come out with so many of these games. Except I don't know if any of them came out between 2001 and now. Fuck.
I don't know what you're referring to. This is a Square game?
No. I'm going with... I don't know. I don't know the Squaresoft game. I'm on my next guess. What was
so
the Square?
The Square game was Dragon Quest IX.
I don't even know what that
Dragon
is.
Dragon Quest IX. and it comes in at number 9.
I was going to say some kind of Pokemon, but I don't know... Because especially in Japan, they love their Pokemon games, and if Americans are eating that shit up the way that it in the droves that I see these kids, and when I say kids, I'm talking about people who are only what, like 4, 6, 8, 6 years younger than us. Am I correct in saying that? Like 6 years is probably.
Yeah. We just missed the Pokemon wave.
Yeah.
And you know what? You'd be correct because Pokemon. Not only holds the number 2 slot,
okay,
it comes in at the number 3 slot,
holy,
and the number 4 slot,
holy shit,
and the number 11 slot,
what,
and the number 20 slot.
Wait, how many Pokemon games are there?
And the number 21 slot, and the number 23 slot.
Oh my god!
And the number 32 slot. And I can just keep going on and on.
Wait, okay, so again, showing my age. How many fucking Pokemon games are there?
There's a million. Nintendo got really smart at one point, and they started not just coming out with Pokemon. They would come out with multiple versions during the same year, each featuring different characters.
Okay.
So you have Pokemon Diamond Pearl, Pokemon Black and White, Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire. They just keep iterating and iterating every few years. And you still don't have the number one top-selling game.
No, I don't. There's no way I'll get it. So if I go through my list of things in my brain, there's the Final Fantasy series. I would
Which
imagine
does
that's
make the list.
Okay, I would imagine that's somewhere at least in like the top, you know, 100 or whatever.
It's in the top. They round up the top 30. Both 10 and 12 come in at 28 and 29.
Okay, I'm also going to say that somewhere between 2001 and whenever, or in 2013, there's got to be some kind of Donkey Kong game that came out. Is that anywhere?
But it's at 88 and it was a
dude, I'm shooting low. Okay, well then going off of Donkey Kong, I'm going to go with Super Mario Galaxy or Super Mario, I don't know, some kind of, or Wario even. I don't even know. Like some kind of Mario is what I'm going to say.
Number 1.
What?
At 6,424,000.
What?
Is not Mario.
Of course not,
but
Mario.
But is new Super Mario Brothers for the DS. That
what
was
is
the
that
top selling game.
What is that game?
It was, so that it came out on the DS and it was, it's the one that kind of, if you saw the Wii one with multiplayer,
mm-hmm.
Did you see that where you could, everyone could play at the same
yeah.
time and go through, it was brilliant. So they released a version of that on DS called New Super Mario Brothers. But your top 10, New Super Mario Brothers, then Pokemon, Animal Crossing, Brain Age 2.
What?
New Super Mario Brothers for the Wii, Monster Hunter 3. Dragon Quest 9, Mario Kart DS. Those are your top 10. All right, so we got to move on really quickly to Hot Off the Wire. I'll just say this quickly because we're way over time.
Ugh.
Excitement grows as 48 nations prepare for the World Cyber Games Grand Final, world's largest competitive gaming festival. So apparently there's a big-ass gaming competition happening in China. I was kind of curious to see what games are being played at the World Cyber Games.
Super Mario 3 is being unveiled there right now in China.
That would be fucking awesome. I went to one of those. That'll be, maybe we'll do that as a close quarters.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to hear about that.
I didn't compete.
No, but being in the audience alone is incredible.
Yeah, so can you think of any games you would think would be at the World Cyber Games?
So this is competitive gaming, right? Like,
yeah.
So I'm guessing there's got to be FPSs, so... I would say, like, I'll
but this is in China.
It's in China. Well, okay. Wouldn't it be funny if the game that's being played is like Fallout 3, and where the Chinese have destroyed it, but you're, you know,
just all this self hatred.
Yeah.
I don't actually. There isn't an FPS on this list.
Really? Because I was gonna say like Battlefield or Call of Duty would be.
No.
Okay. So, but
which is really fascinating.
I wonder then, do they like racing games? I'm trying to think of competitive.
No,
games.
There's sports.
Okay, so like FIFA is FIFA game.
Yeah, FIFA's on the list.
Okay. What sports do they like? Track and field with the with the power pad.
FIFA's the only sports game.
Damn, they're not doing track and field on the power pad. Okay.
And then we've got, like, you've got your standards. So Street Fighter.
What about Super Smash Brothers? Isn't that something people like to play? Multiplayer?
No, I don't think that's considered a... At this level, I don't think it's considered...
Competitive.
A good enough competitive
gotcha.
Game.
Okay.
We've got Street Fighter. You've got, surprisingly, still around Warcraft 3.
Wow.
Is being played at the World Cyber Games. Then you've got StarCraft 2. Naturally.
What about this whole bullshit like Dota or
yeah.
Okay, that okay.
But League of Legends.
League of Legends. Those two go hand in hand to me. They're both bullshit games. It's for people who like bullshit games. Sorry. Sorry everyone who I offended, which is Legion.
And then a game I've heard of, I've never played, World of Tanks. It could be. There is an FPS actually. It's called Crossfire, which I've never heard of. It looks very Asian.
You never heard of Crossfire. You get it. That's probably what it was. They're actually playing Crossfire.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is your news.
Powder, sir.
time trial. 10 minutes on the clock now. What game peripherals were your favorite from back in the day?
Oh, man. There's a lot of them. So you've got to go. I'm going to start early.
Okay.
And even though this was a fucking disaster of a peripheral, it holds a special place in my heart. The god of all, the lord and master of all peripherals to come later, Robbie the Robot.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Is truly, that, if you think about that thing, it was fucked. Like, it was a robot that, there were spinning gyros that the robot would pick up and then place onto things that would then press buttons. It was like a fucking Rube Goldberg machine. And I remember trying to play Gyromite with that dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
And it never, it was broken.
Yeah.
I don't think Robbie the Robot actually worked, but it looked like it could. So it was full of hope and excitement that was just absolutely destroyed. But it didn't sour my opinion of him. He always just sat there doing nothing.
So he would just sit like on the coffee table and never be used? Like, how many games were developed for use with Robbie the Robot? That's my question.
Oh, God, so few. I mean, the only one that I know of was Gyromite, and I think there might have been like three others.
Isn't that sort of the fate of almost all peripherals for a gaming system? Like, think about the Power Glove. Of course, we all look back to, you know, Lucas and the Wizard and the Power Glove. It's so bad. But really, how many games could you actually use with the Power Glove? Okay. You might have been able to use the game, but that actually functioned because of the Power Glove. You know, there was that pinball game or whatever that you would hit a ball back and forth. I can't remember the name of it now. But that, I think,
I never had the Power Glove, nor did I know anyone with the Power Glove. I was not that cool.
I didn't know anyone with it either, I don't think. But
it was a myth.
Yeah, yeah.
I looked up. It's not Robbie the Robot. It's Rob.
That was it?
And there were only two games, Gyromite and Stack Up.
Oh, my God. So you bought this thing for, like, at least $69.99. Or I should say your parents bought it for $69.
It was a pack-in with, I think it was, like, the deluxe Nintendo system.
Man. On the topic of things that are pack-ins, like, the of course, you have to mention the light gun for the NES. But do you remember the Super Nintendo Super Scope, I think it was called?
Disaster.
But it looked so sleek. It was so cool. Like, the Zapper was antiquated. That was like, that's like finding a German Luger somewhere. And this was the, you know, the AK-47 of its time, the Super Scope.
Yeah, it looked RoboCop-esque.
Yes.
And it was a fucking bazooka, which is hilarious. You had to mount it on your shoulder to play with it.
Yeah, it's nuts. There's other ones too that, and I can't think of the name of this, but Sega tried out this thing, and now we see it with Wii. I think Wii perfected it, but and I can't remember the name of it. But you would stand in like an octagon that had sensors in it, and that's what you would you play fighting games with. I think that was.
I don't remember that, but that sounds fucking incredible.
It wasn't.
Wait, okay. Was it called the Sega Activator?
I think that's it. I would have to Google it, but I'm pretty sure that's it.
It is. It's like an octagon you put on the floor,
yep.
This little plastic ring.
Yep, that's it.
I can already see that would never work.
But in my kid brain, like, I could suddenly do karate because of that. Like,
and on the cover, there is a kid doing a fucking karate kick, and he's got, let's see, okay, let me break down what he's wearing.
All right.
Fucking the whitest tube socks anyone's ever worn.
Are they knee highs or are they ankle?
He's rocking them ankle because, you know, he's looks cool.
Right.
He then has knit shorts.
All right.
And then a California cool yellow, very light yellow, kind of cardigan sweater thing with t-shirt underneath, and then he's got blondish brown hair that is long,
kind of Zach
Morris,
like a Zach Morris-ish,
yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
And he's doing one of the worst kicks of all time.
Which one of us kids ever did the best kick of all time outside of, you know,
in our minds?
Yeah, in our mind. Oh God, I was going nuts if you asked me to do karate back when I was a kid.
Wow, I had no idea this thing even existed.
It was, well, I don't even remember this. I don't, I knew I needed the activator. That's what I knew. But I didn't know how to acquire it because my parents looked at this and they go, it's a fucking octagon that you stand in. We are not paying for that to go on our carpet.
They were well aware of what technology could achieve.
Right.
You know?
But I think, if I remember correctly, though, the idea was that there were sensors, I guess, maybe at 8 different points on the octagon. I don't know. And so you could play, and this is why I wanted it. There was this game called Eternal Champions. I don't know if you remember that game.
Yeah.
To me,
yeah.
It was like one of the best fighters of all time. I loved it. And I wanted to play Eternal Champions using the octagon thing, the activator. So but I don't know if you also needed to have a controller in hand or if it relied solely on your ability to uppercut and jump kick and shit like that. But imagine doing that in your house and your parents at some point would go, shut the fuck up. You know, you're making too much racket. This floor is made of wood. So all you're doing is jumping up and down and creaking the boards. And that's what
And your dad is just sitting in a chair looking at you like a tart.
Yeah.
Kicking. And just head buried in hands, yeah. Like, what hath God wrought?
Yeah, he's
so this is what it's come to.
He's wondering, why didn't he just stay in Vietnam, is what he's saying to himself.
So the way it works, and I'm kind of proud of myself because this is what I assumed was the case, and it's true.
Oh, no.
What it does is basically, it shoots infrared beams straight up.
Okay.
And then all it's tracking is if that beam is triggered.
Wow.
So it's basically the most rudimentary fucking thing. Like, it's just a beam of light that when it gets flicked, it probably kicks.
Right.
So there's probably two buttons at most.
I imagine
that can be mapped to it.
Like, when I think about this, it might as well have been called like Octagon of Frustration, because I imagine every time you kicked and the guy on screen didn't kick, you were like, fuck! And then maybe that's when he would kick after you show a little bit of rage. Like, maybe he'd even detected emotion and they didn't tell you about
that. Or he kicks when you kick out, and then when you bring your leg back, it probably kicks again.
Yeah, why is it that a lot of these peripherals have you doing actions that don't, that aren't natural actions? Like, a punch doesn't punch. You know, you have to kind of like, you have to tap into, you know what I mean? Like, you don't necessarily do a straight punch to do the jab in a boxing game. You have to, like, do a certain set of maneuvers to make that trigger the punch. It just seems...
Yeah, it becomes more about the gesture of the game than the realistic.
Exactly. Which is strange to me because, you know, with when it comes to a light gun or a zapper or whatever, it does the job because you're pulling the trigger. But when a human is suddenly interacting with it, it gets all sorts of fucked up.
You know what? Another classic peripheral... This was one that I had a love-hate relationship with. The fucking NES Advantage. That thing, it had basically the only function was the turbo, if you remember. Mm-hmm. Like, it was this big block of plastic that had a turbo selector that you could click in, and then it would just push the button over and over again at varying speeds, given a dial.
This is the one that had like a proper joystick on it, right? Like okay. It was like you sat that on your lap and used it. It was its main use was for a track and field game. That's when I used it because
there was this really wonderful feeling in a way when you got it to actually work. Because some games it wouldn't work at all.
Right.
But the ones that did, like, you'd fire it up with Double Dragon or something. Just click that fucking turbo button and just go ape shit. It's amazing that that was even allowed by Nintendo.
But with track and field, it made sense because it requires that, though, games like that required a shit ton of tapping of buttons. So any game that required that, you just, you know, set turbo so that it's on, you know, B is constantly being pressed. Next thing you know, your athlete is sprinting faster than any world record could calculate.
Yeah, it becomes a non-game at that
point. That's true. It deconstructed the entire thing. What's interesting about a lot of these peripherals is that they ended up being incorporated into entire games that had their own that became their own entity, like any of the Guitar Hero games or Well, even like, well, not Dance Dance Revolution, but the things where like you would buy the peripherals because it was integral to the game, but the game took on its own thing. You know, it's different than, I think it's different than having a light gun, because a light gun might be used for Duck Hunt. It could be used for Hogan's Alley or whatever that game was called, that shitty game. But like, if you've got a guitar and a drum kit, it's only ever going to be used on Guitar Hero. So,
yeah.
Which is interesting to me. That like, and people bought that shit up. They went nuts for it.
Yeah, go to any thrift store now, and like next to all the old microwaves and cassette decks and stuff, there's now, I go to a lot of thrift stores.
Mm-hmm.
Every thrift store has a dedicated like place on one of those metal shelves just for Guitar Hero guitars and drum kits.
Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, that's time. That was 10 minutes.
So send us your memories of game peripherals to superdumbgames@gmail.com. Any ones that we may have forgotten.
And visit the website and all that other shit. You know what to do. Join the street team.
And join your choice of gangs.
Yes.
Machete Experience, Acid Rain, Idaho Gun Jockeys.
It's so stupid.
It's survival. It's life and death. And your choice of gang doesn't have to depend on which segment you think is a fan favorite.
No, usually it's based on race.
Yeah, it's race and gender. Social class doesn't matter anymore because we're basically bartering with candy and precious metals.
Thanks.
Yeah, those two things.
Thanks to Halloween, I've been bartering with pumpkin seeds. That's the new currency around here.
It's an odd collection of things to be bartering with, but you know what? We do our best.
Episode 9. What a shithole.
Episode 9. 0.0 out of 10.
On what? Metacritic? What? You can't. That's not accurate. Somebody gave us a 5. All right. See you next week.
Dumb games.